And he said, you're going on a journey. Now, we read this passage and we think, well, they went out and they come back. And they said, look what we've done. Right? But he said it's a journey. And we don't know how long it was. We don't know how long it took them on this journey. But it was a journey. And he had said, you know, some people are going to welcome you and some are going to reject you. He said, that's life. That's the way it is. You're not all going to be, you know, everybody's not going to take you in and feed you and wash your clothes and provide a bed for you. Some's going to say, get out of here. We don't want to hear you. And he says, the ones that reject you, he said, shake the dust off your feet. Don't let that stuff cling to you. Don't let that rejection weigh you down. You got to shake it off. And they departed. How many did he talk to? How many disciples? 12. And they departed. How many departed? 12. Other places it tells about they went 2 by 2. So they probably went 2 by 2. But they all received their orders. And they all obeyed. And they went. And then they came back and they reported what happened, right? They told everything they'd done. They told about preaching the gospel. They probably told about some places they just didn't want to hear. Other places, they was all ears. Like Ross Perot would say, I'm all ears. They saw people get saved. They saw people get healed. They saw the miracles. Right? So what is the kingdom of God? He said, go and preach the kingdom of God. Well, the basic meaning of the word kingdom in the Bible is God's kingly rule. His reign, his action, his lordship, his sovereign governance. His kingly rule implies a saving and redeeming activity on their behalf. So this is what we're going to go and preach. When we preach the kingdom of God, you know, many times Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Sometimes he said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Luke 11:20. If it is by the finger of God, Jesus said, if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. He says the finger of God was by the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when people get healed, when we see the miracles, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said the kingdom of God is here. How many go out and witness the people and you declare the kingdom of God is here? The kingdom of God is here. And I'm going to pray for you and God's going to heal you. That's bold. Isn't that what Jesus said to do? Preach the kingdom of God. Mark 1:15. And say, the time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So the kingdom of God has come in fulfillment of Old Testament promises. Through the promises. Through the Old Testament. Spoke about the coming of the kingdom of God. The coming of the kingly rule of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. See, it's not, it's something spiritual. It's not something physical. You will see physical things take place, right? You will see the Holy Spirit confirm things, but the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Paul says, by a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. So when you declare the kingdom of God is here, you just expect the Holy Spirit to move, right? As you preach the gospel. And so they went out, and they preached the kingdom of God, and they healed the sick, and they were on their journey, and they come back with their testimony. There's an order in that. You notice that? So how does all that relate to us today? How can we look at that and say, you know, God, I believe you're speaking to us through your word. Because the Bible says that everything in here is for us, right? For doctrine, for correction, for reproof. Well, number one, just like he called all 12 disciples, all Christians are called. At certain times in our lives, different times, God gives us a revelation or insight into some particular area of life. Has God ever spoken to you about something particular? You know, we can think, well, that's something real big. But God works in little things too, right? See, every week I have a sermon to bring to you guys the next week. So that's what God is speaking to me. And that's specifically what I'm to do. Now, there may be other things too, but that in particular. And, you know, it could be many things that God speaks to us in different areas. And we know, we have revelation of it. And God's saying, now go do it. It may be areas of holiness. God wants us to be holy, and we know God wants us to be holy. And so, you know, we set out on that journey to be holy. It may be something in finances. Maybe we have messed up finances, and God speaks to us. You know, the Bible talks a lot about finances. And so, he may speak to us about finances. About being good stewards. You know, maybe we just don't know how to handle money. Maybe it just sifts through our fingers. And it's like, where did it go? I had a lot and now I have nothing. What happened? You know, the week lasts longer than the paycheck. And so God is, you know, God may be speaking, you know, you need to have a spending plan for your money. Used to be we called that a budget, but now that's not politically correct. So we need to have a spending plan, right? And because God wants us to be good stewards of everything that he's given us. It could be money, it could be property we have, it could be our bodies. We're the temple of God. So God wants us to be good stewards of our body, right? He wants us to take care of stuff. And when we follow God's principles, he'll bless it, right? God will always honor his word. And so if God's speaking about finances, maybe it's the area of tithing. And You know, maybe somebody don't understand tithing or hasn't got into tithing, and God's saying to you, you know, you need to tithe. And it's like, you know, God, if I get 100% of my check and it just barely makes it to the end of the week. Now, God, how is 90% of that going to be better than 100%? It's pretty hard to understand, right? In the natural. And God says, do you trust me? Do you have faith in that what I say is true? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Do you believe that my word's true? Or don't you? You know, it's like, make up your mind. Either you do or you don't. But if you do, if you trust me, it'll work. Every time. And so, God gives us revelation into a certain area. It may be to go and preach. It may be any number of things that God speaks. How many has ever, God has just put his finger on something and you knew that God was calling you to do it? It could be maybe witnessing to people. It could be anything. And you knew that God was calling you to be, not just to do it, but to be great at what you do. And so when he gives us this area, he calls on us to bring the reign of the kingdom of God into that situation, that circumstance, whatever. If we say Jesus is Lord, right? Then he wants to be Lord of everything. Many times we say, I want you to be Lord over everything. We don't say this, but there may be things we sort of back away from. I want you to be Lord, but I don't want to give you total control, right? We don't say that, but Matthew 22:14 says, for many are called, but few are chosen, or few choose to answer the call. See, we have a choice. When God speaks to us, we can say yes, or we can say no. It says few choose to answer the call. It's just like many are on the broad way that leads to destruction. And there's few on the narrow road that leads to righteousness. For whatever reason, few choose to answer that call. 1 Corinthians 1:26. You know, it may be, well, if I had what that person had, I would do that. If I had their faith, I could do that too. If I had their good looks, I could do it. If I had their wisdom, if I had all their knowledge and all their book learning, I could do that. But I don't have it. Right? And Jesus said to the disciples, you don't need all the other stuff. You don't need the script. You don't need the bread. You don't need the money. You don't need the coach. You have everything you need. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. He calls the common person, right? One thing I've seen And I don't say this for any glory or anything, but this, if you watch this, you will see it. Many times, the people God calls to preach are either farmers or builders. You say, well, what do they have? Man, those guys just go out and dig in the dirt and slay with animals. Or they build stuff and somebody else tears it down or whatever. But God has His own reason for calling us. Amen? Yeah, but when He called the disciples, He gave them power. If I had that power, I'd go out and I'd preach the kingdom and I'd heal the sick and I'd raise the dead and I'd do that stuff too. Anybody ever said that? Well, all Christians have the same access to the same power and authority Jesus gave the disciples. Well, where does it say that? Well, Acts 1:8. I'm glad you asked. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. But you shall receive the same power. Same power. After the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Luke 24:49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. See, a lot of times we don't want to wait for the power. We want the power, but we don't want to spend time with God. We don't want to persevere. We don't want to just stay there however long it takes until we get it. How many is ready to wrestle with God? And say, God, I'm not leaving until I get it. You got it. I want it now. God's a God of now, right? Sometimes His timing isn't our timing. But still, when we wrestle with Him for His promise, God, you said, God, this is your promise. God, if there's anything, Lord God, I'm doing to stop it, Lord God, just show me. But I want everything that you have for me. How many is willing to say that to God? God, I want everything. I don't want crumbs. Tired of crumbs. How many have settled for crumbs? Yeah. We've all settled for crumbs. And God says, I have so much more. I have the very best for you. Don't stop. Keep pressing in. Keep seeking me. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Come on. And all the other stuff will be added. Hallelujah. So, all Christians are called. All Christians have access to the same power. Number three, don't miss the window of opportunity. How many have ever missed that window of opportunity? Man, I would be the king of missed opportunities. I have missed opportunities so many times. Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. Man, I can't begin to tell you how many times opportunity came to witness, to pray for somebody, to do something, whatever, and 2 minutes later, 5 minutes later, I realized I missed it. God, you was there. You told me. It was right on the tip of my fingers. And God, I missed it. So there's the window of opportunity. Number four, don't waste time gathering up what you don't have. When we have our eyes set on what we don't have, we don't realize what we do have. We're so focused on, if I had this, if I had that. Go with what God's given you. Sometimes that's the best way. No preconceived ideas, but you just go. You just do. Number five, expect the journey. Jesus sent them on a journey. Everything that we set out to accomplish, it's going to be a journey. We like the old now. Everything that goes smooth, we want it now. Well, it won't always be smooth sailing. And sometimes things get rough. As a matter of fact, if you're out to do great things for God, guess what? You can expect problems. There's this book in the New Testament. It's probably the first book in the New Testament that was ever written. It's called the Proverbs of the New Testament. It's the book of James. And right off the bat, James says, my brethren, in James 1 verse 2, my brethren, in other words, Christians, we don't want to hear this part. But James was the go-to man. He was a leader in the churches. And James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. King James. A lot of times, King James. Count it all joy when you do what? When you fall. How many of you ever fall? Ever took a spill? Any ice? Anybody ever been on ice? Oh, it's like I was standing up and crash. And it's not far, but boy, it's rough landing. I've busted shoulders. Poor stuff. I'm just landing on the ice. Just like that. Did I expect to fall? No. And so, here's James. He said, count it all joy when. He didn't say, if you fall. He said, when you fall. He said, stuff's coming down the road. Stuff's going to happen. When you fall into divers temptations. Oh, well, I don't go near the water. I don't dive. So I'm okay, right? What's this divers stuff? Well, that was the way they translated out of the original Greek, divers. And you could say diverse, but really that word is the same word that was translated Old Testament in Joseph's coat. Many. When you fall into many. Not just maybe one, but when you fall, when you crash, when you're engulfed, when you're enveloped in many temptations, when you have many kinds of troubles, count it all joy? Why? Why should I count it all joy when these things happen? I don't like problems. I don't like troubles. Maybe you do. Not me. And so here's James, and he says, count it all joy. Just what I wanted to hear. Man, I got lots of joy. How about you? Oh, yeah. You know, there's all kinds of possibilities to have joy there. Automobiles break down, flat tires, car won't start, unexpected bills, right? Maybe somebody badmouths you. Maybe somebody, you know, just whatever, rejects you. All kinds of possibilities to have joy.
Down in my heart.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, the words should really have been proving your faith. Because how do you react when these troubles come? Do you really have it down in your heart? Are you standing on the promises of God? Or did these things that attack suddenly overwhelm you? Knowing that the trying or the proving of your faith, see your faith at work here, your trust, right? What you believe, worketh, King James says, patience. I thought doctors was the one that had patience. The trying of your faith, or the proving of your faith, is going to really prove what's inside. It's the only way you're going to know. The proving of your faith worketh patience, or the better translation for that would be endurance. Or perseverance. But let patience have her perfect work. In other words, when all this is going on, and I'm working through it, just stay there until you know what you believe, till you know what you have faith in, just stay there. Until it has her perfect work. It's even a her. That you may be perfect. How many want to be perfect? Mature. Yeah. Entire. Wanting nothing. After you have all these problems, after you've gone through them, and you stay there until they've worked on you, it's like honing the rough edges off. How many have ever had the rough edges honed off? Yeah, I think we all have. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Another translation puts it this way. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play, and do a thorough work, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed, with no defects, lacking in nothing. How many is ready to stay there in all these troubles, all these trials, until you're mature in this thing? You've seen it through. You've seen the battle through. You've seen the journey through, right? Philip says, and if in the process any of you does not know how to meet any particular problem, this is James going on, if any of you does not know how to meet any particular problem he has, only to ask God. So when we're in this problem, when we're in this journey, and we get to the end of our rope, end of our thoughts, end of our scheming, end of our manipulation, whatever, and we still don't know how to deal with it, James says, you need to ask God. If any man lack wisdom, right? Ask God. Who gives generously to all men without making them feel foolish or guilty. Isn't that like the Holy Spirit? He don't bring condemnation. He don't lay the guilt trip on. But he's just so gentle. And he don't make you feel foolish. And he may be quite sure that the necessary wisdom will be given him. How many have asked for wisdom and just know you're going to get it? How many have ever needed wisdom? Me too. But he must ask in sincere faith, without secret doubts, as to whether he really wants God's help or not. The man who trusts God, but with inward reservations, is like a wave of the sea carried forward by the wind one moment and driven back the next. That sort of man cannot hope to receive anything from God. And the life of a man of divided loyalty will reveal instability at every turn. It's like double-minded. How many know what double-minded means? Okay. Here's the way I heard this double-minded explained. It's like you have a body, right? But you have two heads. And the one head is saying this, and the other head is saying that. The one head is saying, I trust God. The other head is saying, but. Isn't that double-minded? And James says, you can't expect to receive anything if you're double-minded. Now, whatever you believe, believe it. If you're believing God to heal you, believe it. If you're believing God for the miracle that you need, believe it. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted from God. How many have ever heard that? Well, God's just tempting me. God's just doing this. For God is incapable of being tempted by what is evil, and he himself tempts no one. But every person is tempted when he is drawn away, enticed and baited by his own evil desire, lust, passions. Then the evil desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully matured, brings forth death. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And guess what? James says that he'll use us to kill ourselves. Right? He said, when when we're tempted, when we're drawn away, enticed, number six, we have to see it through to fruition. Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So when we're on this journey, we got to be determined. Paul said, I press towards the goal, the prize of the high calling, right? And so we have to have a goal in mind, and we have to be determined. We have to endure to the end, persevere to the finish. And sometimes it may look like we're losing the battle. If you've ever been in a spiritual battle, you know how this works. But we have to hang in there. And as you go on in Luke chapter 9, after they come back, and they reported what happened, and the apostles, when they had returned, told him all they had done, and he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. Bethsaida means house of fish. And he took them. Here they were in the oasis. They was in the presence of God. They saw all these miracles and stuff. And they come back and reported. And where's Jesus take them? To the desert. So he takes them into the desert. And it's like, that was one journey. Now I want you to have faith for the next journey. And he took them into a desert place. And what happened? Many people came. The multitudes came to the desert place. In the natural, we would say, what would people go to the desert for? There's surely got to be Holiday Inn or some convention center where it's air conditioned and everything. But it said they went to the desert place. And what happened? The people went out. They went on a mission. They completed their mission. They saw God move. They come back. They give the testimony. And it drew people. What happened? Drew the people to Jesus. And so when the people came, they came into the desert place. They came into the place where there was no life, no hope, nothing. And Jesus preached to them. And he healed the sick. All these things. Out of how many verses? 7 or 8 verses. And all this stuff is in there. And God's speaking to us today. And he's saying, if you'll go on this journey that I've called you to, if you'll answer the call to this journey, and if you will just trust me in the journey, and if you will stay in the journey, you will stay when the pressure's on, and you will count it all joy when all the troubles come, and the proving of your faith is going to bring endurance, perseverance. And when you stand, when you stand on the Word of God, God's going to back it up. And you're going to see God move. Hallelujah. And the cycle starts. It snowballs. 12 went out. 12 answered the call. 12 saw it through to the end. 12 come back and multitudes came. Hallelujah. If we are faithful, whatever God calls us to do, in that one thing, God's going to bless them and God's going to multiply. And it's all going to point to Jesus. He's going to give you glory. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and we praise you, God. Thank you for speaking to us today, Lord God. God, but every area, Lord God, you call us to be, Lord God. God, you call us for excellence, Lord God. And God, we thank you for the power and authority that is there, Father. God, we don't have to go it alone, Father. God, we don't need all the other stuff, Father. God, when we have the Holy Spirit, when we have the power, oh God, and we just stand on your word, when we believe your word, when we trust you, Lord God, God, you're going to bless it, Lord God. You're going to see it through, Lord God. And God, you're going to be glorified. You're going to be magnified, Father. And God, many people are going to come to know Jesus Christ through the one thing that we demonstrated by our faithfulness in what you gave us, Father. And God, we just give you glory, Father. And God, even now, Father. God, if you're speaking to any of us, Father, God, I know you're speaking to us. And God, there's about four areas, Lord God, God, that you would maybe speak to us today. One area might be that you're calling us into something. Maybe you've given us a thought, a revelation of some area you want us to go into, to excel in. Or maybe we're in that journey. And we got problems in the journey. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to handle it. And Father, we need wisdom. God, maybe we're in a place, Lord God, God, when we come back, Lord God, and we share the testimony of what you've done. And God, maybe it's a time, Lord God, when you're just speaking to us, Lord God, to just watch you draw people to yourself by what you've done in our lives. Father, we want you, Lord God. God, we don't want to fail, Father. You said we're more than overcomers, Father. And so, God, we're here, Father. And God, you said if any man lacks wisdom, God, you said to ask in whatever area, Father. Whatever area, Father. And so, God, if any